So I don't have a lot. It's not going to be really long tonight because we started with vision, and this is just going to kind of streamline it after we've gone through all these different sessions for you guys too. Just maybe you're thinking a little differently, or it's opened your eyes to a little bit more. So it's not too long. And then we have Aubrey talked me into doing something fun for the second half. So we'll open up questions if you guys have any questions about anything throughout the whole process of this marriage class. And so if you have anything that's burning, let us know. So we talked about vision, and it's the ability to think about or plan the future with wisdom. Okay, and I love that. Creating a written vision will help you to identify these three things: your priorities, your primary values, and your goals. I hope everyone has paper. If not, I have paper and pen up here. I'm gonna give you, it breaks it down, and you might, I did not print it out, I'm sorry. You're gonna have to do your own writing. but I feel like this breaks it down and is a little bit more clear than the initial ones that we talked about. So, identifying your values. Our values are what guides the way we live our lives, the decisions you make on a daily basis. So an example is at your education, family dinner nights, spending time with friends, owning a home, spiritual growth, serving in a ministry. What do you value? When you know what you value, it's easy to say yes to things, and it's easy to say no to things, especially if you're a people pleaser. And I know a little bit about that. Most of my life was just saying yes and then suffering through some of it because I probably should have said no. So just understanding those values that you have, it just makes it easy because you're just like, nope, not going in that direction. This is what I would say yes to. These are the things I say no to. And you don't get yourself caught up in something that you don't need to be doing, or get off into the wrong direction of where you're planning on going. Kind of like, okay, we want to own a home. Well, if you're going out all the time and spending money on gifts and eating out and this and new clothes and all this stuff, you're probably gonna take you much longer to get that house. So it's easy to go, nope, we've decided we're going out once a week or once every other week, and that's what we're doing so that we can save money so that we can get into our home quicker. So that's kind of what I'm talking about when you know those values. So we're gonna go through how to write those down. So as a husband and wife, and if you're single, you just do this by yourself, obviously. Husbands and wife, separately, write down the top five values that you feel like you have, and then come together and try to figure out what those five just break, come into. I don't want five and five and bring it into 10 things. You want five and five, and hopefully you guys have similar ones that you can go, okay, and then prioritize those one to five, what those values are. And then after you do that, hopefully everybody's with me, tell me if you need me to slow down. You're gonna put, there's gonna be three lines, and those are for those values in action. You can do 1, 2, 3 action items. So if it's, we plan on owning a home in the next X amount of years, here, okay, we're gonna eat out once a month. That's one of your action items. What's your other action item? And just 1 to 3 though. If you only have one, great. If you have three, put those down, because then that helps you to keep keep going in that direction, because you'll be like, oh wait, you can encourage each other when, you know, one says, oh, let's go out. Is this gonna be our once this week, or whatever you decide? Because sometimes it's just not worth it. I don't wanna say it's not worth spending time with people, but you can always say yes to, oh, going out with this person and going out with that person, and it takes you off track. So you kind of weigh out what's more important when, and make that decision based on your values. That makes sense? So that's number one. Number two is increasing intimacy. So developing intimacy as a couple is one of the keys to success in staying committed to the marriage. And there are four types of intimacy. One is emotional, connections through feelings and emotions. So I want husband and wife. I'm not going to continue to say single, so don't be offended, because you know that you would do this too. Rate your current emotional intimacy 1 to 5. I feel like when you do 1 to 10, there's too much in between. 1 to 5 kind of puts it in a little bit more of a, okay. So 1, meaning doesn't know me emotionally, to 5, meets my emotional needs. Okay. And then you're each going to rate that, and then you're going to come together, obviously. You can do it in the same room and then just go, okay, what do you have? This will help you identify that, oh, I thought I was meeting her needs, or I thought I was meeting his needs, and I'm missing the mark. So being aware of that and then knowing that you can do something about it. Okay, and then in that emotional needs, write down your top 5 individually. So example, as a husband, we talked about respect being one of those things, a need for the man is respect. So you could write respect, admiration, conversation, affection, open and honesty, family commitment, whatever it is that you feel that would meet those emotional needs. Write down those top 5. And then write down 3 ways, that you can increase your emotional intimacy for each other. And that can be a great conversation too. It's not just as a woman thinking you know how to meet that need, but having the conversation. So if I do this for you, does that help meet that need for you? You know what I'm saying? Because they could go, nope, not at all. And so if you don't have that communication, you're kind of spinning your wheels thinking you're doing a great job and missing the mark. Second type of intimacy is physical. And we kind of all know what that means, so I'm not going to go into that. You're going to rate it 1 to 5. 1 being ice cold, 5 being red hot. If you want any further explanation, I will throw Terry on that. He's willing to answer any questions you have. Number 3, the third type of intimacy, is recreational intimacy. So doing things together that you both enjoy. So 1, you're going to rate this, 1, flying solo, or 5, co-pilot.
Can you repeat that?
Huh?
Can you repeat what that?
Recreational intimacy, doing things that you both enjoy doing together. And then you're going to list 2 ways that you and your spouse can increase that recreational intimacy. Sounds like a little sacrifice too, right? Which is good. And then I just put in here, remember that your marriage needs your time and attention. We go to school for education, to get a great job, to get, you know, to go further in life, make money, to support our what? Well, if you're not working on your marriage just as hard as we work on our education, you may not have a marriage, and you may have a great job and lots of money and nothing to show for it. So don't forget, I think we kind of put those things to the side, or when we have kids, like, oh yeah, I'll just become a parent. And it takes time. It takes, you know, stuff like this, going to a class, searching things out. So make sure you remember that this is an important thing. Number four, spiritual intimacy. So this would be something like praying together, reading your Bible together, serving together. And then you're going to rate 1 to 5. 1 being disconnected, 5 being connected. List 2 ways under that to increase that spiritual intimacy. Figure out what you enjoy doing together that, you know, you would be a great team. There's obviously some things that you do separately, but when you do things as a team, I found in our relationship, we think about things so differently. We do things so differently, but as a team, we make a great team because of that. So Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, 2 are better than 1 because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, 1 can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if 2 lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can 1 keep warm alone? Though 1 may be overpowered, 2 can defend themselves. A cord of 3 strands is not quickly broken. So then I'm going to go into goal setting. And there are 3 of them. So marriage goals. Is the first one. Write down 3 marriage goals you want to pursue as a couple in this next year. This is kind of perfect timing, ending in December. Not that, you know, we don't want to just make resolutions, but in a sense, it's just a nice start to, you know, going a whole year. Number 2, ministry goals. Write down 3 ministry goals as a couple that you can commit to over the next year. And those don't have to be like year-long ministry items. You know what I'm saying? It could be, we're going to serve in this capacity at least 3 times a year. Do you know what I mean? So it doesn't have to be like, oh, every week we're going to be doing something together. No, like figure out how you work well together and what that would look like. Yeah. It would be together for that one. Yeah. So, what specific areas of your church would you enjoy being involved in? What ideas do you have for ministering together based on your similar passions? What talents or gifts do you see in your spouse that you think would be a blessing to others? Again, this is a great conversation to do together, because sometimes we don't see what we have that could be a blessing, or we don't see it as a blessing that could impact somebody else, but your spouse can pull it out and be like, oh my gosh, I so see this in you, you know? And then you kind of go, really? And then, you know, go for it. What's it gonna hurt? You're trying to serve. So what's it really gonna hurt? Maybe it'll just bring you a little bit more clarity, you know? So Mark 10, I have 10:45. I hope that's right. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Number three, your personal goals. The quality of your marriage relationship will always be a byproduct of your individual relationship with God. We talked about this, being that whole person. It's so important. So as a couple, discuss and develop individual goals that will help encourage each other throughout the year. So still do this together, but this will be a personal goal. So write down two personal goals to grow spiritually. Two personal goals to grow intellectually. And two personal goals to grow physically. So again, you're doing this together so you can encourage each other in those goals. Even though it's a personal goal, like you have your support person right next to you, cheering you on, your cheerleader, you know, and that's just amazing. So communicate, dream, plan, and commit to these different areas in your relationship. I really like this. I know we started off in a different direction, but I felt like this was super clear, super concise, and you could do it in one evening. You know, it's not like, oh, we got to work on this big thing. And I just think it'll make a difference. And I hope you guys will tell me like, hey, this really helped. I'd love to hear it. And I want to read the story. Today in church, I just felt... I don't want to cry. God is really moving right now. And as I was thinking about tonight, I just felt like if you guys take away one thing from this marriage class, I hope you take away that you need God. And your relationship with God is super important. I know that puts away a lot of things we talked about, and I'm not saying it's meaningless. I'm saying if you have that as a foundation, He will guide you through all this stuff. Like, this is good to know, and it's good to write down, and it's good to have in front of you, but without God, it's just knowledge. So I think that's my input in it. That's my feeling on this. But I have this story that I had saved a long time ago. And it came up today while I was doing my study, and I just want to share it with you. I don't know if maybe you've heard it before. All right. Imagine running 100 meters in under 11 seconds. Now imagine doing that while being completely blind. This is David Brown's story. He is the fastest blind sprinter on the planet. After losing his sight at the age of 13, he competed in sports at the Missouri School for the Blind, eventually focusing all his energy on track and reaching the Paralympics. He won the gold in the 100-meter race in Rio de Janeiro Paralympics in 2016. He also won 100-meter titles at the 2015 and 2017 World Championships. A key to his success in his running is his running partner, Jerome Avery. These two are literally tethered together as they sprint down the track. Avery serves as his eyes on the track. Sorry. Sprinting next to him in training and competitions from the starting block to the finish line. Avery is an elite sprinter himself. He competed in the U.S. Olympic trials in 2000 and 2004, but did not qualify. Then he was invited to assist the U.S. Paralympic teams in Athens. He now has worked as a guide runner at least four Paralympics. Brown said it's really hard to put into words how much you have to trust somebody when you can't see something. It's an individual sport. but you've got to be able to depend on somebody else to help. I'm going to read this because this is what I felt this morning. When I read about this remarkable partnership, I thought immediately about our partner as we run the endurance, the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. Jesus promised his disciples that when he left them to return to heaven, he would send the Spirit of truth who would guide you into all truth. John 16:13. On the day of Pentecost, this Spirit filled and controlled them, enabling them to share the gospel in languages they had never heard. Acts 2:4. He empowered Peter to preach and led 3,000 people to faith. He later empowered Peter to proclaim the gospel before the Sanhedrin, Acts 4:8. And it enabled Paul to rebuke a magician who was deceiving the people. And that's Acts 13:9 through 11. He will lead and empower every person who submits to his control and power today. Our partnership with the Holy Spirit is much like David Brown's partnership with Jerome Avery. Avery will lead and guide Brown, but Brown must choose to follow. Sorry. That's what's important. That's what I want you guys to take away. You can't do this on your own. We can give you all these great tools and all these great ideas and all these great experiences from us, but it's all about him. So, sorry for all that. I just felt like that's what he wanted me to tell you guys tonight. So, if you take away anything, I hope that's what you take away, because I know your marriage will be blessed because you're following him and you're choosing to let him lead you and not lead on your own thoughts and desires. So that's all I have for tonight.